If you were here a few weeks ago, you may remember that I used some optical illusions as sermon illustrations, including these. And I did that to help get us thinking about the idea that sometimes what we think we see is not what's actually there. I used some visual brain teasers, as it were, to demonstrate the reality that sometimes what we are convinced we are seeing is, in fact, not there at all. In addition to having a little fun with these optical illusions, I did that because I thought that if we could understand how readily and how innocently our brains do that with images, taking in information and trying to make sense of it by fitting it into what we already know, what we've already experienced, what we're familiar with, and sometimes coming out with a less than fully accurate, if not completely wrong, interpretation. Bob, I seem to not be working my clicker. Then maybe we can consider how easily our brains and our hearts do that with people, equally automatically, equally not ill-intentioned, and equally oriented toward making sense of the world around us. I revisited all of that this morning just to tell you this. This morning, I'd like to get into my sermon with another brain teaser. This time, not a visual one, still not clicking, Bob, but with a good old-fashioned brain teaser for your mind. So put on your thinking caps, maybe even grab something to write with and a piece of paper. And when we get to the question at the end, if you have an answer, I invite you to just shout it out. Here we go. You are the pastor of a brand new church. Within 3 months, there are 32 members on the rolls. Over the next 3 months, 12 more people join. The month after that, a family of four who had been very active in the creation of the church moves away. But within a few weeks, a family of six and a retired couple from the church down the street decide to transfer their membership. At Christmas time, a friend group of three young couples join, but one of the couples stops coming after the new year. Also in the new year, a middle-aged member is killed in a tragic car accident. But as Easter approaches, eight more people of all ages and backgrounds make the commitment to join. Here's the question. How old is the pastor? I shared this with Ryan to see what his response would be. And he said, I don't know, probably middle-aged. Well, the reason that I used this little exercise to get us into the text this morning is much less significant than the reason I used a few weeks ago with the optical illusions. This time, it just feels to me that the parable that is the focus of today's passage parallels that brain teaser we just experienced in one significant way. It starts with the most important information at the very beginning, and then never comes back to it again. Does anyone have an answer for the brain teaser? Does anyone? I'm going to go back. Yes, Gil. 80. That is the right answer for Gil. The right answer for me is 54. The very first sentence that I said was, you are the pastor of a brand new church. And then the question, how old is the pastor? Can anyone tell me, with regards to the scripture, what I'm referring to? Here's the parable. How does it start? A sower went out to sow. Listen. It starts with listen. That's not the parable, though. That's Jesus. Then the parable starts, a sower went out to sow. Often, it seems that what gets talked about with regard to this parable is the different types of soil. And granted, even Jesus talks about the different types of soil when his disciples say, "What are you talking about? What does this mean?" And so there is absolutely value in considering those descriptions. I could ask you, for example, which type of soil you think you are? Or perhaps more accurately, what type of soil do you feel like you are today in these moments, in this season of your life? Because I don't think any of us are one type of soil forever and always. I think we are all of those types of soil at different times, in different moments, in different circumstances of our lives when it comes to how well we are prepared, how receptive we are, how open we are, how unguarded our spirits are to receive God's word in our lives and in our hearts. I can't speak for anyone but myself, and sometimes I get in trouble even when I just try to speak for myself. But regardless of whether I should or shouldn't speak for myself, I absolutely shouldn't try to speak for any of you. So I don't know what you're thinking with regard to these different types of soil, but I do know that my heart has experienced all of these different types over the course of my life. There have been times, for example, whether for hours or maybe months or maybe seasons of my life, when my heart has in fact been like the hard, well-worn path, impenetrable to the word of God by bad habits or rigid rituals or a firmness of my grip on my beliefs about what's good and bad, right and wrong, worthy and unworthy. The reality of the seed sown on the hard, impervious path is not foreign to me. There have been other times when I've come to some new understanding about what it means to live as a person of faith, some aha moment about God's word and what it means to apply it to my life. And I get gung-ho about it for a little while until it's too inconvenient or too hard or until it makes somebody around me uncomfortable, until I fall back into my old ways of understanding, sometimes without even realizing it. The reality of the seed sown on rocky ground where it doesn't really take root is not unfamiliar to me. At other times, when the truth of the word of God speaks to my heart and resonates within my spirit and challenges and calls to my mind, and I'm ready to commit to a new way of being and doing and thinking and acting and living and loving in the world, but then in the whispers of my heart, I hear conflicting truths, maybe about money or about security for myself and my kids. Maybe truths about needing to be liked or not wanting to cause conflict. Maybe truths about being busy or productive and not wasting time or energy. I hear my own voice telling me that it's reasonable to want to be financially secure in retirement, really financially secure, even at the expense of others. Or that my small efforts taking care of the earth won't really make a difference, so why bother? Or that the injustice in the world is so big and vast and deep and entrenched that my small contributions won't even make a dent. And therefore, why not just save my time and energy and resources for something else? The reality of the seed sown among thorns, where the truth of God's word sinks in but gets choked out, is not unknown to me. And yes, by the grace of God, there have been times when my heart resembles the good soil, when the seed has not only been sown, but it sinks in, where it not only sinks in, but takes root, where it not only takes root, but grows more heartily than the weeds, and where it not only grows more heartily than the weeds, but it bears fruit. I don't think I can dare to claim that its yield has ever been 100-fold or even 60 or necessarily even 30. But I do believe there have been moments when the word of God that is in me has borne fruit. So I could ask each of you to consider your own experience. I could ask you if you can relate more to one of these types of soil than another. I could ask you if you can think of times when your heart has been could have been described by each of these types. I could ask you if you feel like you've lived through each of these experiences and circumstances when it comes to your own readiness and receptivity to the Word of God being sown in you. But I'm not going to ask you any of those things. Not because they're not important. They are important. But because today, I want to draw our attention to something else. I want to draw our attention away from the soil into which the seed is sown and toward the one who did the sowing. Because in doing that, it seems to me that we shift the focus of our attention away from ourselves and whether we are rigid or not, whether we are gung-ho or not, anxious or not, even receptive or not to God and God's abundance and God's joy and God's faithfulness and God's grace. Because in this parable, the sower just sows the seeds. Regardless of the quality of the soil, regardless of whether the soil is ready, regardless of the likelihood that the seed will sprout, the sower just sows the seeds without concern for where they land, within whatever area the sower can reach, with abandon. The sower just sows the seeds freely, unrestrainedly, and extravagantly. The sower just sows the seeds as far and as wide as they can, and then trusts that when the time is right, when the conditions are right, the seeds will grow. And I think that's what God does. God sows the seeds of God's word all over, in places of drought, where hearts are hard, in places of chaos, where hearts are uncertain, in places of overwhelm, where hearts are anxious, in places of deep grief and unexplainable joy, of bottomed out addiction and spiritual seeking, of tragic death and beautiful births, in all of these kinds of places and others where hearts are broken and sometimes broken open and in magical moments of grace become ready to receive the truth of the Word of God. God sows the seeds of God's Word all over, in you and in me and in all people, in this place and in all places, in these moments and in all moments, in those who appear ready and in those who really are ready, in days past, days present, and days to come, regardless of the quality of the soil, regardless of whether the soil is ready, regardless of the likelihood that the seed will sprout, without concern for where the seeds land, within whatever area the seeds can reach, and with abandon, God continues to sow seeds of God's presence and seeds of God's truth and seeds of God's justice and God's mercy and God's abundance and God's forgiveness and God's peace and God's love. And maybe then waters it all with God's grace, which is the only thing that causes any of these things to take root and grow in any of us. The sower went out to sow. And the sower, who is Almighty God, Holy God, Creator of all that ever was and is and ever shall be, God, the source of all that is sacred and the essence of what is divine, God, the sower, will not stop sowing seeds of God's word until the fullness of God's word is the fullness of reality. And we are invited to join in the sowing, regardless of the likelihood that the seed will sprout. Within whatever area we can reach extravagantly, even carelessly, sowing seeds and seeds and more seeds, trusting that in God's time, they will grow. Thanks be to God. Amen.